Welcome to the Northeast Christian Podcast. We're so excited that you've decided to check out our weekly messages. We hope that you're challenged and inspired by what you're hearing today. We'd love to have you join us this weekend at one of our campuses or online at northeast.live. For more information on Northeast, visit us at necchurch.org. If you love the Northeast Podcast, subscribe to our channel and leave us a comment or a rating in the Apple Podcast Store.
Well, good morning. My name is Tamara Brown, and I serve as one of the local outreach pastors here, and it is such a joy for me to be with you today. During the week, I get the privilege of working with our awesome outreach team, and I work with nonprofits in our city to meet the needs, the deepest needs of those in our city. So it's just an honor to be on staff here at Northeast, and I'm grateful to be with you today. So my boys, this is my family behind me, my husband Wally and our sons Elliot and Max. And Randy, I know that God doesn't care about UK and U of L, but I do. So go Cats. Just had to get that in. And my husband is an Alabama fan, so he was really happy after the game last night if you were able to watch that game. But my boys were a little nervous about me preaching today. They love Tyler. And they reminded me, Mom, he sets the bar really high. Are you sure you're going to be able to get up there and do this? I said, I'm going to try my best. And then Max, my youngest, said, Mom, are you going to preach in high heels? And I said, no. He said, good, because if you fall, that would be really embarrassing. So I've got my flats on for the weekend. I've got my lip gloss on. We're ready to go. But today we are thoughtfully going to consider this idea of healing. Today is our last sermon in the series Prayers of the Ville. And last year, when you submitted your prayers, many of your prayers were around asking God for healing, specifically cancer and addiction. So today, as we dive into this somewhat difficult topic, I hope that you'll just open up your heart to God, allow Him to speak to you, pray for me as I speak this morning. And I want to say up top that we are to be bold in our prayers. Prayer is simply a conversation and an encounter with God. And when we approach the throne of grace with confidence, asking God to help us in our time of need, we need to be bold about that. We need to expect God to do big things. And that's one reason I love being the local outreach pastor, is because I pray big prayers for our church. I pray that we become passionate about the miraculous, not only in our lives, but in our city. So let's get started and let's pray together. Gracious God, this morning we are just thankful to be with one another, thankful that you have brought us through this year. For many of us, it's been a difficult year. Our lives are broken, and we know we live in a broken world, but we know we have the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that you came to heal, to restore, to set captives free, to break chains. And so, God, we ask that you do that in and through us today. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. It was a surprise visit by an unwelcome visitor, like it is for so many sufferers. I didn't know that day that Mr. Hardship would knock on my door, barge his way in, and take residence in the most intimate rooms of my life. And I didn't have any idea how his presence would fundamentally change so many things for the long run. I watched him go room to room through my life, rearranging everything, wondering what things would be like if and when he finally left. If I could have, I would have evicted this unwanted stranger. But I failed at all my attempts to boot him out the door or to deny that he had taken residence in my life. I spent way too much time trying to figure out why he had knocked on my door and why he had chosen this particular moment. But I never got any clear answers to my questions. Once I realized that I couldn't kick Mr. Hardship out of my life, I gave myself to trying to understand how to live with him and around him. His presence made me feel like an actor in a drama where everyone had a script but me. I felt unprepared and unable, not just the day he first entered, but day after day. Sure, I had known that Mr. Hardship was out there, and I had heard of the stories of how he had entered other people's doors, but somehow I just didn't think he would enter mine. Embarrassment washed over me as I thought of the silly platitudes and empty answers I had casually given people when they had been caught in the same confusing drama I was now in. And I thought about how foolish I had been to think that this unwanted stranger who somehow, some way, enters everyone's door would for some reason omit mine. Because I didn't have the power or control to make Mr. Hardship leave, I ran to the place where I have always found wisdom, hope, and rest of heart. I ran to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in doing so, I ran into the arms of my Savior. This is the story of an author, Pastor Paul Tripp. But more than likely, it's your story. And it's my story. Mr. Hardship entered my life my senior year at the University of Kentucky when I made the long dreaded walk to the UK Medical Center. Had been having some symptoms, and I was diagnosed with Graves' disease, which sounded really bad at the time. But it's an autoimmune disease that I've learned to live with and will have for the rest of my life. Mr. Hardship entered the life of my youngest son, Max, in fifth grade when he realized there were motor tics that he could not control. Mr. Hardship entered the life of my father at the age of 33 when he found out he had pancreatic cancer and only lived for 3 months after that. Mr. Hardship entered the life of my husband's grandmother when she found out she had Alzheimer's. Mr. Hardship entered the life of dear friends Fahar and Jamie as they struggled with infertility, and when then God blessed them with a beautiful baby girl named Eva, she was diagnosed with the Walker-Warburg syndrome and would not live past the age of 3 years old. Mr. Hardship entered the life of a friend of mine, a lifelong follower of Jesus. His name was Norm, and he was diagnosed with melanoma. And I was by his bedside praying the Lord's Prayer when he passed on to be with Jesus. And Mr. Hardship entered the life of one of my favorite youth workers, H.C. Baker, who loved God and had a zest for life like no other, and who loved students so well, and he made the best homemade donuts around. And Mr. Hardship entered his life when he was diagnosed with heart disease. You see, these are just some of my stories, some of the stories of people who I am close to, and I know that you have your stories too. I've asked God to heal sickness beside hospital beds. I've laid in my own bed crying out to God, asking for healing. Sometimes that healing has come and sometimes it hasn't come. But I continue to trust. And you may ask today, I'm not for sure I can trust in a God I can't even see. Like, how do you do that, Tamara? Well, it's hard, but it comes from a daily relationship with Christ. I pray in good times and bad times. I study his word, and so I know his promises are true, and I've seen them in action in the lives of those around me and in my own life. And when I study God's word, I come across passages such as this, James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, that whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. He doesn't say if you face trials. He says whenever you face trials. So I pray that this message today is a timely message for you. And if it isn't, I pray that God will remind you of the things spoken today at the time in your life when you need to hear it. If you have a what if faith today, I pray that God will move you to a no matter what faith. No matter what happens in my life, God, I will continue to trust you. Well, there are a lot of questions around this idea of healing. Like, does God still really heal? Well, yes, I believe he does. I believe he created our bodies to heal naturally. And oh, I'm so thankful for the wisdom that he gives to doctors and nurses and medical teams to bring healing. But I also believe there's divine healing. Wally and I support a mission hospital on the northern coast of Honduras. It's in the jungle, a remote area. And when we visit, we see and hear stories of the miraculous. There's no possible explanation except for God. And we always sense the greatness of God's presence. And I'm so excited about our partnership as Northeast with Earth Mission Asia next year. Josh and his team are working on that partnership. And it is going to be our responsibility to pray for miraculous things to happen in that partnership. But I do believe God still heals, and he heals divinely. There are questions like, do I have enough faith? Well, yes, God wants us to have faith and to approach his throne with confidence. But I don't believe he doesn't necessarily heal because we don't have enough faith. I don't believe that. I believe good things happen to bad people, bad things happen to good people. And I believe there is illness and disease that happens in our life, and it is a result of our sin. And that is sometimes where we need a deeper healing. The healing of resentment, the healing of shame, the healing that comes along with the forgiveness of sin. And so maybe that's where you are today. You need a deeper healing in your heart. But there are things that happen to people that we just can't explain. We do not know the answers why. But I trust today that together we can continue to move forward in our prayers of faith. And in order to do that, I think it's important that we look at Scripture. Jesus performs many healing miracles. Just look at Mark chapter 1 and 2, and you'll read a few. And as I read some of them this past week and the weeks before, I kept coming back to the story where Jesus heals the leper in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. A leper came to him, begging him, and kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. The thing I saw this week as I read and meditated on that passage is that I believe the leper was passionate with humility coming to Jesus. "Jesus, if you choose." He acknowledged Jesus' authority. And Jesus had loving compassion on him and healed him. When we come to God asking God to do something for us or for the people we love or for our city, we come to him acknowledging his authority, his control, that he does have everything in his hands. But we come to him with humility. And what I love about Jesus is that he has compassion. And he heals him. And he doesn't just heal him of his leprosy, his skin disease. He was an outcast. Jesus crossed boundaries to heal this man. And in his healing, he restores him to community. The man now has dignity. And church, that's what we're about when we love the veil. This is really another sermon, but I do want to make this point today, is that when you and I step out of our comfort zone and we love the outcast, we bring about restoration and healing as we restore them to community. We bring about having them to have dignity. When we serve the homeless, many of you, I'm finding out, serve the homeless, which is just really cool. I met a couple for the first time 2 weekends ago, and they said, "Tamar, we serve the homeless on Saturday. We feed them, we share a Bible study with them." And I believe so many times when the homeless come to gatherings, they come for more than just food. Because when they come, they feel restored and they feel the healing of community. So if you know people who are outcasts, who don't have community, need someone just to love them and to be their friend, hey, healing and restoration take place. So let's continue to be a church that brings about healing by restoring community. But I hold this intention that the leper approaches Jesus, and he approaches him with knowing that he has authority, and he's healed with my friends Mark and Tracy Walling. It was January the 6th, 2015, and Tracy had just been told that she had acute lymphoblastic leukemia. From the beginning, Tracy's husband, Mark, told me, Tamara, we just prayed. We just prayed. We knew it was in God's hands. We knew God had us in his hands. So Tracy had chemo treatments. She was in remission. Prayer answered, and they continued to pray. And then she needed a stem cell infusion. Well, her sister was a match. Prayer answered. They continued to pray. And Mark said, Tamara, we just leaned into God and we just prayed all the time. We would pray prayers like, today, God, today is the day you're going to turn things around. But after 100 days of going to the doctor daily, to the James Brown Cancer Unit, the doctors told Tracy, we're going to have to admit you to the hospital for 2 or 3 days. You're really sick. But those 2 or 3 days turned into 6 weeks. And it was really 6 weeks of suffering. Tracy could not get out of bed. She could not eat. And Mark said, Tamara, it was just so difficult. Such a time of grief. But we continued to pray. And people all around the world were praying and trusting God for a miracle. But that miracle did not happen. And Tracy passed away. She left 2 beautiful children, grandchildren. And I asked Mark, how do you get through your grief? She was the love of your life. How do you get through that? And he said, Tamara, I taught Sunday school, and that's kind of if you're new to church, it's Bible study. I taught Sunday school for many years, and I've studied God's word, and I've read the Bible. And at the end of the day, there is one thing that's true, is God has given us everything that we need in Jesus, in Scripture, and in the Holy Spirit. And I lean into that. And I trust that. And I believe that one day I'll see Tracy again. I may not see her in her bodily form, but I believe I'll sense her spirit and she will sense mine. Acknowledging God's authority, he heals and he doesn't heal. But we still lean in, we still pray, and we still trust. So you may ask, well, how do I start? When I'm struggling, whether it's an inner struggle, maybe some of you today just have this secret struggle. And you just need to ask God, I need to share this with somebody. Send me someone I can share this with and just begin praying. But just a few tips on how to pray. And these are real simple, and you may have your own ways. But first of all, just pray passionately. Ask God to give you a heart for him, to increase your faith, and just to pray earnestly and passionately. When fear and doubt arise, ask God to move that to the side and to give you all that you need. Pray persistently. Choose a time each day to pray. I pray in my car, I pray walking in the park, but it's important that as Christians and Christ followers, we pick that time each day where we pray persistently. I love the story of the friends who lower their friend through the roof. They were persistent, I believe, in their prayers, and Jesus heals the man. When we pray for others, we need to be persistent, and that may require action. So pray persistently. Pray precisely. Do not be afraid to state exactly what you need. Whether you're a teenager in this room, you're an adult in this room, when you go to God, tell God exactly what you need Him to do for you. Be precise. And then pray with praise and patience. When you go to God, regardless of your circumstance, acknowledge that He is good, He is merciful, He is loving, and then pray with patience. And this is where God is really teaching me now, because there are some things I've been praying about for years, and I continue to be patient, knowing that the Lord hears my prayers. But in how we pray, there's often things that we can pray for. And you may have those specific things that you pray for all the time. But in your prayers, I want to encourage you today to pray for four things. First is the comfort of God's grace. If you're praying for yourself, for other people who are really struggling, once again, whether it's an illness or whether it's something that's going on inside, pray for God's grace. Because God has an intervening grace. Romans 8, 26 through 28 says, "Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in us and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs and our aching groans." Isn't that amazing? That He's intervening for us. So when you go to pray and you don't know what to pray, just stay there. Listen, rest in His grace. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. He knows our pregnant condition and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. Pray for God's intervening grace. God is at work all the time. We just have to join Him there. He is already working. His grace is already working. And then there's this inseparable grace. Pray that you will not forget that there's nothing that can separate you from God. Who will separate us from Christ's love? Will we be separated by trouble or distress or harassment or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not death or life, not angels or rulers, not present things or future things, not powers or height or depth, or any other thing that is created. Nothing can separate us from God. There's nothing that you can do to make God love you more. There is nothing that you can do to make God love you less. He has this intervening grace and this inseparable grace. And so let's pray for that in all of our troubles. Second, we are to pray for the comfort of God's presence. Sometimes I just need to be alone. You there? You just like need to go away and be alone, because it's then sometimes that I feel the presence of God really available. He's available to me. I know no one else is around but Him, and I am in His presence, and He is with us always. So as you're praying in your prayers, ask God, in some way, you're greater and higher than I can imagine, make your presence known in this situation. And third, and perhaps for me the most difficult, is praying for the comfort of God's purpose. I do believe that God has a purpose in all things, and He works all things to our good. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 12 says, "If you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness. We carry this precious message around in our unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. As it is, there's not much chance of that. You know for yourselves that we're not much to look at. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but guess what? God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't been broken. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder. What Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives. So in our troubles, in our hardship, God is still alive. God is still working. He is still living. And guess what, church? We are all cracked up. We are. We are all cracked up. We are broken. And in our brokenness, we have to ask God to let his light shine through the cracks in our life. Through our brokenness, we acknowledge it to one another and we let him shine. I believe he allows us to be cracked so we will get the fact that hope and security are never found by what's in us. It's found by what's in him and his living in us. And I love 2 Corinthians 1:4, where Paul reminds us that God comforts us in all of our troubles so that then we can comfort other people. So part of God bringing about good in our lives is when we go through a hardship, we are able to really sympathize with others. It doesn't mean we go to them and we offer silly platitudes or empty answers. Sometimes people just need us to sit with them. But you remember Mark and Tracy? Well, after Tracy passed, Mark decided to bring comfort to others who were going through the same thing that she did. And twice a year, he makes lots of chemo tote bags, Tracy's chemo tote bags, and he takes them to the James Brown Cancer Center and delivers them and offers hope and love and prayer for those who are going through the same thing Tracy did. And many of the doctors continually tell Mark, "Mark, it's such a blessing to walk into the waiting room and to see Tracy's chemo tote bags everywhere. It's like people just clutch them and they found a little bit of light in their life because of your generosity." So whatever you've been through, allow God to use that to comfort other people. And then pray for the comfort of God's people. I would not have made it through several things in my life if it was not for the church and my friends and God's people. One blessing that we have in this temporary home, and this is a temporary home that we live in, it's the comfort of God's people. It's each other. So guess what? When you don't feel like coming to church, you still need to be here anyway, because somebody here needs you to be here. They need to see your smile. They need to hear your encouragement. They need a hug from you. They need to be restored to community. See, you and I, as the people of God, we are to be the look on God's face, the touch of God's hand, the sound of God's voice, the evidence of his love, and the demonstration of his faithfulness. That is our responsibility, church. That is what we are to do for one another, and that is what we are to do for our city. The comfort of God's people. So if you're going through a struggle today, don't suffer in heroic isolation. Reach out. Find someone you can trust. Find someone who will listen and not judge. There's lots of people here in this church who would just be willing to listen and support. And then determine to be honest in your prayers. This is sometimes the hardest, is be honest about the spiritual battle you're facing. If I asked for a raise of hands right now, I bet we would have several across the room. If I said, is there some type of spiritual battle that's going on in your heart, in your life right now, you would say yes. It's important that we're honest. We cry out to God about our fears and our doubts and our questions. He wants to hear those. So don't suffer in heroic isolation and determine to be honest as you're praying for the comfort of God's people. So the comfort of God's grace, the comfort of his presence, the comfort of his purpose, and the comfort of his people. Suffering is not ultimate, but God is. Hope is a person, and his name is Jesus. Life is a person, and his name is Emmanuel, God with us. He is with us wherever we go. Although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they guide me. God is with us. So we have to remember that our suffering is not ultimate. God is. And he sent his son, Jesus, so that we could have abundant life. We could be healed from the inside out. So in closing today, I want to just say a word of testimony that the way I've personally been able to make it when Mr. Hardship entered my life, it's because I remind myself of who God is. I remind myself of God's character. So I want to close today by reading just this wonderful poetry to you by a pastor from San Diego, Calvary Baptist Church. He served there 40 years. And I just want to invite a little feedback. If you want to say amen or yes, you can. But I want you to know today that God's here. He meets you where you are right here, right now. And he wants to bring about healing and restoration in your life. This is called That's My King. The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven, and he's the king of glory. He's the king of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. I wonder, do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the peak of civilization. He is unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He is the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder today, do you know him? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and he sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the leper. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young and he serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged, he rewards the diligent, and he beautifies the meager. I wonder, do you know him? He's the key to knowledge, the wellspring of wisdom, the doorway of deliverance, the pathway of peace, the roadway to righteousness, the highway to holiness, and the gateway to glory. I wonder today, do you know him? His light is matchless, his goodness is limitless, his mercy is everlasting, and his love never changes. His word is enough, his grace is sufficient, his reign is righteous, his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. Oh, I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable, he's incomprehensible, he's invincible, and he's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind, you can't get him off of your head, you can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him, and Herod couldn't kill him. Death could not handle him, and the grave could not hold him. I wonder today, do you know him? Well, yeah, that's my king. God, no matter today what we are going through, the struggle, the secret struggles, the sin, the addiction, the disease, God, we know that yours is the power and the glory forever and ever. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen.
Hey, thanks for being here today. If something tomorrow said struck your heart and you'd like to pray with someone, we have people in the fireside room who would love to do that with you. Just stop by there after service. If this is your first time here, we'd love an opportunity to meet you. Just stop by the kiosk in the middle of the lobby, and some of our folks are there. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.